This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. We're calling the meeting to order. And I just want to remind everybody to have their cell phones off as much as possible. And we just appreciate fewer interruptions. This is new to me. I haven't chaired Rules Review this summer, but not a committee during the session, so bear with me a little bit. Mark's here, so he can point me in the right direction. I appreciate that. And our first order of business, I guess, is to call the roll.
Representatives Dennard?
Here.
Duvall?
Here.
Goodwin? Excuse. Jameson?
Here.
Kaiser?
Here.
Latterell?
Here.
Mills?
Here.
Rasmussen?
Here.
Ring?
Here.
Rosam? Excused. Shane Fish?
Here.
Wiese?
Here.
Wismer?
Here.
Willitson?
Here.
Augard?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Our schedule isn't to address any bills today, so we're just going to do some general discussion, but we'd like to hear from the pages since you're here this morning, and if you'd just step forward and introduce yourself, we'd appreciate that.
Hi, I'm Bailey Seabrass. I'm from Pierre, and I want to go into international business.
Hi, my name is Jessica Seachlug. I'm from Gettysburg, and I'm going to college at Washington State, Clark Community College, for dental hygiene.
Where is that at?
In Vancouver.
Very good. Beautiful country.
Yep.
And where are you going to be going to school?
Undecided.
Okay. All right. Take your time. Well, thank you very much. As I mentioned, I haven't chaired a standing committee during the session, so I wanted to get together this morning mostly just to have a general conversation about where we're going to go with this committee. I looked through the bills that were passed last year, and there weren't very many. I've asked the speaker to try to direct a few more our ways so that we can have a little bit more to do if they're appropriate. But what I'd like to do during the session, I've asked the secretary and assistant secretary to produce some historical background for our tax system. The first I remember our tax code for the state, or our tax system for the state, was when I was in high school, and I remember my parents filling out this long form, which was 6 or 8 or 10 pages, whatever it was, and they had to go through and check off how many radios you have, how many couches you have, how many appliances of any sort, all these details, the number of cattle you have. It was all based on personal property tax. And so I think it's important for us to understand how that came into play, why it went away, and what options exist. And being new to the committee, I'm sure you've probably already gone through a lot of this, but it's important to know what exemptions exist and what other states are doing to see how things work in other states, and especially in light of the fact that our country's gone through some dramatic changes in the past 20 to 40 years, going from a primarily rural setting to primarily urban. So that's what I'd like to accomplish, and I'd like to hear from the members of the committee as to issues you think you could, or you'd like to know more about our tax system and options that might exist. So I think what we'll do this morning is maybe let you ponder that just for a second, but I'd like to hear some ideas about where we might go with this committee this session. The background information we might get from the secretary and the assistant secretary will be helpful. Assistant Secretary Wiest mentioned that he had been working for 28 years in this area, so he'll have some good institutional knowledge, and I appreciate the wisdom of the members on this committee, and the fact that we've got an economist on the committee is significant.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just thought I would mention that I got here just after the personal property tax had been eliminated, but one of our faculty members back down there used to like to point out that one year in Clay County, there was one diamond ring in the entire state, which might explain why it was called the liar's tax.
It was just exactly that. And it was, I think there was also, you know this, but I think there was also some historical precedents for taxation of property, whether it was real or if they identified it just as the structures. And that was part of the reason why closets weren't built into houses and why armoires were more likely to be used than a closet, because they were taxed based on the number of closets in the house. So that's some of the the means by which they've figured out taxes in the past. But the personal property tax, like I say, it was this long form, and I'm sure that people did not go through and take complete inventory of their homes. So it's probably aptly called the liar's tax. So with that, I'd like to hear from the members of the committee just to have a general discussion about what we think we might accomplish. It's important to realize that we have an overall budget of $4.5 billion. And I think it's incumbent upon us to know where that money's coming from and how it's being spent. And I think that's the role of the legislature, not just to simply take agency requests and see if we have enough balancing revenue, but rather to understand what the requests are, if they're reasonable, and if the agencies are doing anything and everything to keep that under control. So, Representative Jameson, do you have any thoughts on the subject as far as issues we might address? And like I say, because there were so few bills last session, I think that we want to make our time useful. And I know that you have the background from being in the city council in Sioux Falls to understand some of the issues associated with municipalities. So I'd like to hear any suggestions you might have for this committee.
So this is the trouble, I guess, when you smile at the chair.
Yeah.
He thinks you're asking for attention, but no, I would only maybe throw out the idea that what I heard from the governor, I think it was, talking about the United States Supreme Court is going to decide this month whether or not that issue will be held or reviewed. And I think it was talked about here last year, analyzing our tax structure, you know, what changes. Because if clearly the United States Supreme Court doesn't hear that case, there are going to be, requests to consider other options. And so I think what you're talking about in starting with reviewing the history of what we're doing, or taxation in the state, the progression it's made, changes, is a good starting point. So I don't have anything else really to add.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Because we do have some fairly new members to taxation, I would encourage you to consider inviting someone from the Property Tax Division to explain how property taxes and education funding interact, especially in light of the fact of the changes we made 2 years ago for education funding. I would like a discussion on capital outlay taxes, because that does affect property tax owners. And then also, we are in the final year of a study on how ag land productivity should be assessed. And it might be helpful just to have an update and overview on how that is going.
Those are great ideas, especially with the changing, the possibility of changing the taxation based on the productivity of the ground and the use of the ground. So I appreciate those suggestions. Those are great. And again, that's kind of what I want to get to, is so we understand as a committee, because my interest over the next couple of years, if I'm reelected, my interest over the next couple of years is to task all the committees with a little bit more responsibility as far as coming up with ideas about their given purview, that they would come up with ideas as to how we might take a closer look at those agencies, understand if they have grown in ways that weren't necessary, if they're accomplishing their designated mission, and if they're spending the money wisely. Because when we're spending $4.5 billion, we should be the ones that are taking responsibility for this. Even though we're part-time, it you know that it really ends up being a full-time job in a lot of ways. So these are great ideas, and that's what I'm looking for this morning, is some suggestions along that line. And I'll pass those along to the Secretary to maybe fine-tune that. What I had asked him for was just a general overview, but these are things we do want to drill down and learn more about, and then be on the front end of this, such as the productivity issue as far as taxation. So anyone else have any suggestions? And we can just go down the line and Chair. Representative Mills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'd start out by sharing my little anecdote about the property tax. I was a 19-year-old college student, moved into a ancient, dilapidated house with a buddy, and we started rounding up furniture, got a refrigerator for $10, got a couch for free, had, you know, half dozen things in the place, and then I got my tax form to fill out, the liar's tax. I filled it out honestly, sent it in. They didn't believe me I got a refrigerator for $10. They said, no, it's got to be at least 50. It's got to be at least. So it was an interesting experience. I would echo Representative Duvall's request. I think that was an excellent idea. And I would add that maybe a presentation about the excise tax, that's a fairly large source of revenue for the state. It's not well understood. Those of us that have had experience in the construction industry understand it, but not many have. And so I think it'd be a good thing for the committee to get updated on how the excise tax works and maybe some glitches in it. We'd have some interesting discussion. So I would add that to our list, if you would, sir.
Thank you very much. That's a great idea. And those kinds of things are pretty significant, especially in the area where I live in Sioux Falls, that probably in the 1980s when we first moved down there, there were a lot of people that were just doing construction randomly and not getting plugged into the excise tax. And so there was a lot of tax that was missed. We are typically a voluntary tax system throughout the United States in a lot of ways, but those are issues Department of Revenue has struggled with, trying to find out who's doing what, trying to track and see if people are paying their taxes. And typically they're pretty good about being gracious if someone has honestly been unaware of the taxes. Those are issues that I think are important for us to understand if the agency comes forward and says, well, we need more auditors, for example. So that's what we need to understand best. And if there's any other ideas, let's hear those. Representative Wilson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would pause and take a moment to point out the department has been working over the summer and through the fall on a tax increment financing. And they have held various presentations across the state, and so hopefully most of us had the opportunity to participate in one of those. The department did offer to put on that presentation for the legislature. I heard that was coming along, but I haven't seen when it was scheduled for that part. But assuming that that takes place, I would encourage each of us to, you know, be sure to attend that presentation. Tax increment financing is not a simple subject, and the depth of it and such, it would behoove us all to, you know, try to understand as much as we can about it. There will be a couple of bills that are coming to update our tax increment financing laws. And I think it's important for us to take a good look at those and get a handle on it and do what's best for the state. Tax increment financing is a very important tool in economic development around the state. And so it's important we understand it and make it work to the best that it can.
Yeah, thank you. That is an extremely important subject that's been coming up a lot. It's also important on those subjects to figure out if we as a legislative body are passing laws that are going to pick winners and losers. And so that's difficult with something like TIFs. But that's a subject that probably would take at least a half-hour presentation to get a basic handle on it. other thoughts? Representative Ring, you must have some ideas about what we might... You understand most of this stuff because you live it all the time. And the rest of us, we have a general idea, but it be interesting to hear what you've got to say about this committee could accomplish.
I've lived quite a bit of it, but that doesn't mean I understand it all that well. Tax increment financing would be... I would love to hear a presentation on that. The school aid formula, which was already mentioned here, is another possibility. I've actually proposed at least two or three times that we do an extensive interim study of our overall tax structure. It never gets past the executive board. I'm not sure it even gets much consideration on the executive board. In the past, there have been a number of studies like that. The last one was in about 1989 and 90, something like that. I was a consultant to that. Actually, there were two different tax studies back-to-back, one of a committee of legislators and one of a committee of interested citizens. And I was a consultant to both of those. I'd like to see us do something like that, but more comprehensive and bringing in some experts from out of the state. And I might have some ideas for some of those people. I go to the National Tax Association meetings almost every year. Nebraska did such a study maybe 5 years ago. And the member of the unicameral down there, who was chair of the tax committee at that time, the taxation committee down there, and basically ran those. They had a number of hearings around the state. Is a former professor from USD, who then became a dean in Nebraska and is now in the unicameral. He could give us some pointers, I think. I really think we need that. I think we need to ask ourselves why, and some of you have heard this before, but I'll say it again, and we'll continue to say it until I'm no longer in the legislature. Well, I'll even after that. I think we need to ask ourselves why, and I've looked into some of this. We're close to 50th in average taxes in the country, both taxes per capita and taxes as a percent of personal income. We also, the last time I looked, were 49th in average wages. You know, when we talk about economic development, we tend to talk about employment and gross domestic state GDP and so forth, but if the reason you have an average state GDP is because you have a very high percentage of families in which both spouses are working, in which many people feel that they have to have the what I like to call the secondary wage earner, also in the labor force because their wages are so low, we need to ask why that is. And I won't go into why I think that is now, but it has to do with the sales tax. And so I'm all for anything we can do to get a more comprehensive look at our tax structure and how we think the tax structure affects the economy. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. I do appreciate those ideas. I know what you're talking about is an income tax, but be all that as it may, there's a variety of other taxes.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Let the record show that I did not say income tax. I've been associated with that for many years. You can't find any place where I have, in writing or speaking, publicly advocated an income tax. That day might be coming, but I've never done it, and I don't appreciate the suggestion that I might have.
I apologize for that. Let me say that I think all those things, just like that word income tax, that seems to be a hot-button thing across the nation, those are kinds of things that we need to take a look at, and you're right to correct me on that, because there's a variety of taxes. But it's part of what we need to understand is, philosophically, how does that make corporations respond, or individuals that might move to another location, how does that make them respond? And so that's part of what this equation should probably be, because I suspect if you look at our state compared to a variety of other states that actually have an income tax, there's probably not a significant amount of difference in what comes out of a person's pocket. But it's just the nature of what are you calling it. And then you think about sales tax, which is typically considered to be regressive. We're good with that. And there may be some things we need to address there as far as taxes on food and clothing and those types of things up to a certain level. So it's those issues we want to know. Where's the tax coming from? How much do we really need? And again, like I say, philosophically, what words attach to that, and how does that make people respond? So if especially the people have been on this committee for a while, you understand tax better than most, but you could have a corporate CEO that doesn't really know anything other than making really good widgets, and his company's not going to move here if there's a certain type of tax or the appearance of a certain type of tax. So we want to make sure, however we are looking for revenue, it's philosophically going to be palatable to those that might want to move here. So appreciate the correction, though. Representative Jameson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just listening to some of the discussion there, the concept of understanding where the tax is collected and what it's used for, like the gas tax, it's pretty easy to, you know, understand that the idea that the tax is getting collected on fuel that's getting used for vehicles and to maintain roads and all of that. It'd be very interesting to go through the whole system, really, and try to make those associations. Like I've heard recently of a proposal to tax cigarettes to use for education funding. There's just not a connection there. Now, if it was education against smoking, now I get it. You know what I mean? So if we had some kind of a flow chart or something that we could all maybe, like property taxes, where that goes, who gets it, and what it's funding. Sales tax, I know, is broad-based, and there's a lot that probably are, and for good reason, and maybe that all goes into a general fund. But some kind of a flow chart maybe would be interesting for me, at least, to and or principles behind why they go where they go. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's what I'm interested in. You know, we should have a tax code that makes sense. And when I was in law school, I had a copy of the tax code that I carried to class, and it was on onion skin papers, 2,000 pages thick. And now that same tax code is 68,000 pages. And so nobody's carrying it to class anymore. And in that is woven this fabric of trying to manipulate the societal structure. And initially, in the idea of a tax, the way it was imposed, probably wasn't great. But then as they went along, they tried to manipulate people to have more kids and to be married. So then that's what's reflected in the code. And it never made sense to me, just because I have 8 kids, why should I get a tax break compared to my neighbor who can't have kids? So is that fair? I don't think it's fair. And we should have a tax code that reflects, as you're saying, something that's tied to the reason the tax is imposed. Gas tax makes sense. We fix the roads. But so many of the other taxes are a manipulation of the society, and it just shouldn't be that way. And we end up with 68,000 or 70,000 pages, whatever it is at this point, of individual lobbyists and representatives who have sought some sort of a specific goal for their constituents, and that just is not the way the tax code should be. So we would like to, at least I would like to think that our tax code in the state is more malleable, that we could understand it and actually tie it to something that makes sense, and people would say, yes, that's acceptable, I can stand to do that. When I pay my property tax, I don't necessarily like the fact that it's based on the value of my property, because the services I get are the same as the guy next door that has a different home. But I don't mind the approximately 20% of the tax that goes to the county, because I see it being spent usually fairly wisely. So, Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also, I just wanted to mention I appreciate you taking the proactive approach that we would take a look at our tax scheme here in the state and have discussions about moving forward in a way that's proactive and that makes sure we're looking at everything and doing things in a way that makes sense long-term for the state. I'm not a person who wants to see taxes increased, but I remember a year or two ago when we were discussing where are we going to get the revenue for increasing funding for education and teacher salaries, and I went through some of the exemptions that we have, and most of the ones that we have are listed in there because they are business inputs or some kind of thing that is in that nature of a business input, and so you wouldn't want to tax it. But I did identify a significant amount of money that I didn't feel qualified under the same rationale as the other tax exemptions. So in conjunction with wanting to look at lowering the overall tax burden or maintaining a stable tax burden, I would want to look at the exemptions and see if we have a common philosophy for how we are creating, applying, and keeping these. And then a second thought that I've had for a long time on the property tax is that it's a little bit of a morally difficult tax and philosophically difficult tax for me, even though it is a little more stable, because the concept of private property is one of the things that our nation was founded upon, and there are people with no income or fixed income who own their own property. But at a certain level of property taxation, you start to begin paying rent on property you supposedly own to the government. And just taking a look at that scenario and seeing if there are ways that we can reduce our property tax burden, maybe looking at some of those other exemptions and trying to maintain that stable tax environment is something I would want to look at as well. So thank you for bringing up this discussion.
Other thoughts? I appreciate that general idea that we should look at the exemptions, because there are pages of exemptions. And you know that some of those were crafted in a way to accommodate certain enterprises. And if we were ever going to propose any significant change, we would certainly want to do it very slowly, for the most part, because people build their lives around these tax codes and around the exemptions. So it's another one of those things to keep in mind. And like I mentioned earlier, that some of the taxes have a philosophical impact that people just would need to understand if they were going to get on board with it, and understand that it makes sense and it's a fair trade-off. So I think everything should be on the table, but we need to, I think, probably have a 10 or 20-year plan as to how anything would transition to something new. And I think it's, you know, as a legislative body, I think we have that duty to be on task with this. Typically what's happened over the years is things just kind of morph into a new existence. And as a legislative body, and if we're going to be an equal leg of the stool, we need to drill into these agencies, understand what they're doing and what our role is. So. Other thoughts? Yes, Representative Wismer.
Keeping in mind, reflecting on the comments that you just made, unintended consequences, I can't remember off the top of my head how long we've had municipal sales taxes, but I'll bet it's 30 years maybe by now. And I definitely observed over the years you know, the as towns, as retail establishments, the furniture stores or the equipment stores or the parts stores, where the plumbing supply business hops outside the city limits and advertises its 2% advantage. And as all of the cities, I guess I'm kind of curious how many cities or what percent of the population does not pay a municipal sales tax at their closest community, and what percentage of retail business there is that is outside of the city limits. I'm wondering if I'd be curious to know what percentage of retail business, and I think I've seen it before, and I don't know if the committee would be interested in that or not, but I don't have it at the tip of my fingers. But there is a substantial percentage of retail business that is done outside of municipal boundaries. But we all do business in the retail community, and those taxes pay for a very important local services. And as far as unintended consequences and evening out even a chance of being able to reduce the tax rate if it was applied equally across all of the retail business in the state would be something I'm kind of curious about.
I appreciate that. It probably is a doable exercise for the department to figure that out and to figure out if I'm certainly not an advocate of new taxes, but if you have a business that's just a block outside of the municipality, should there be something in the nature of a regional tax? So there are ideas worth exploring. And again, you know, it may be that some of those businesses specifically bought property outside of the municipality, so they wouldn't have to pay that tax, but they also forego the visibility of being in the municipality. So a lot of things, pros and cons to consider, but that's a good idea to take a look at that. When you mentioned unintended consequences, I thought again about the formula we passed for education, and I sure have not studied those formulas or the history of those formulas, but for the life of me, I can't understand why we end up struggling with an issue that was that complicated and then have to pass it in a matter of days. And when that ended up being calculated for some districts, they thought they were getting a real benefit, and they ended up losing money. So I hope that as we go forward, we don't have situations like that. Sioux Falls, for example, we ended up with a calculation that gave us compensation for, I think, 70 more teachers than they actually had in the district. And those are the things that should have been understood before a bill like that is passed. But I would like to think we'd have, again, something that makes sense. You've got it tied directly to the source of the tax, so people are comfortable with it, and it's a reasonable tax across the state. I know that's a more complicated subject because of the migration of individuals from rural to urban, but again, those are things that should be methodically determined, and any change in the tax structure should be clearly understood as we go forward. But I appreciate everyone's suggestions and how we might take a look at other states. As Representative Ring said, there's something that was done significantly in Nebraska, so take a look at that. And we can certainly learn from the experience of some of these other states. We've got a much smaller economy and tax burden, so good ideas. Other suggestions or thoughts, questions that you might have that you feel like we need to ask the agencies about, or we need to get some independent information about?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark Willardson. Fred, this committee or the legislature rather, did a study on the sales tax exemptions a few years ago. Do you remember how long that's been? Five?
I think it was 2010. Might have been 11.
Okay. Because I had participated in that study. I think there might be some value if we were to look back to that and the results that came from that committee. We looked through every one of the exemptions and turned over every rock and looked underneath it. And at the end of the day, we were not able to recommend any changes in any of the exemptions. And so as we start to talk about those exemptions again, I think it might benefit this committee to look back at that study and, you know, the findings that resulted from that.
That's another great idea. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. So if there's existing information that's within probably even 10 to 15 years, it'd be good to take a look at that first and maybe pass it around, have some, maybe have the committee meet informally to have more general discussion about that. But it's good to know that. Thank you for the institutional knowledge.
I'm old.
Mark's very old. Any other questions, suggestions? The next week, we're going to be just starting off slow. We have a couple of bills that are just changes of dates, so not much there. As I mentioned, I asked the speaker to find anything that might fit our committee and send it this way, but if we don't get much in the way of bills, then I think it'd be wise for us to independently take a look at things we're concerned about. I don't want to open up old wounds or create problems, but I would expect that there are some of the school districts that probably are concerned about how their formula treated them. So those will be some things we probably should take a look at, consider. Representative Jameson.
All right, one last time and I'll let it go. The online sales that people are doing, you know, or purchasing online, that form that individuals are supposed to be filling out on their own and remitting their own sales use tax. I'd like to see that form and just where it's at and just why nobody is even.
Well, I've asked the department about that, and I didn't go online and take a look at it in the past week or two, but years ago, for some reason, I must have purchased something out of state, and I don't know if it's guilt or what it was, but I looked at the form, and I don't remember if I even filled it out and paid the tax. But as of a few months ago, it was still, you go online, and maybe we have somebody that can answer Allison. The question. Allison, can you tell us the answer to that question? Does that form now exist so that you can click on it and pay the tax online? Here is my concern. You'd have to go online, pull up the form. It's not a fillable form at the time anyway. Print the form off, fill it out by hand, or type it in, and then write a check, and then make an envelope and send it to the Department of Revenue. Has that changed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Allison Jarris. I'm with the Department of Revenue. I came here to be quiet and just listen to what you had to talk about, but I'm so excited you brought this up because we have taken all of those comments, and last fall we went live with electronic filing and payment. So you can go online, you can complete your use tax requirement, and you can pay with a credit card or bank draft. You don't have to be registered ahead of time. You can totally do it on the fly. You can also, though, go on, fill out the form, and mail it in to us if you want to. Any of those options are completely there. But I'd encourage you to go out to the Department of Revenue's website, go to the business tax section, and you're going to see a box on there, right on there. It might even look like a little present or a gift. Click on that, and it'll take you to the instructions for that. We can make that part of any presentation if you wish us to show it to you. Otherwise, I'd be happy to come around and show anyone individually as well. So, but I'm very excited you asked about that because we've had good response to that.
Do you have any idea how many people have actually responded with payments?
I could not say that off the top of my head. It's probably about a dozen. In our world, that's a good thing because most people don't even go look to do this. And so what we need to do is we need to do our count again now after the holiday. We did a big press release to notify citizens again. It's that time of year. You're probably buying great deals online, or you're getting ready to do your federal income tax. You may come across your receipts that you owe taxes on. Those are the proactive things that we're doing to try and encourage people to pay that use tax or even just call us, any of those types of things. So, yes, we are trying to reach out to individuals to explain their responsibility.
Thank you very much. I did ask that question early in the summer and then a couple months later, and it still hadn't happened, but I appreciate the fact that it's there now. And I do think that there may be some ways in which the department can figure out how do you interact with eBay, for example, and get them to put a link on there so that maybe South Dakota pops up on any South Dakota-based provider and actually have the link available. Because I do think that a lot of citizens would go ahead and click that link. So you're buying something for $100, you pay $4 worth of tax or $4.50 worth of tax. I suspect they'd probably do that in a lot of cases. And I'm expecting that's probably, if people generally understood it and became accustomed to it, I think that maybe they would do a much better job with following through on paying that tax. So maybe that's a part of your budget that needs to expand as far as public awareness. And again, like I say, I would think there'd be some way to interact with especially large organizations like eBay. Obviously, Amazon has sought to provide some assistance there, but I think there is also some limitations on what Amazon purchases were actually taxed. It wasn't all of them. It was more of a voluntary compliance there, too. So, again, it'd be good to reach out to large sales and see if you can get them to voluntarily produce some kind of a link. Maybe our IT people could find that easy solution. We've got DSU that they should be able to come up with an idea that maybe any organization that's providing a service such as eBay, that it just make it as easy as possible for them to comply with what we'd like to see happen. Other thoughts or suggestions? Representative Dennard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess for me, just kind of thinking out loud, I mean, we're still waiting on the Supreme Court to see what's going to happen with the rest of the online sales taxes. And I think once we get a ruling there, if the state is indeed able to collect those taxes, it will be interesting to see what kind of numbers we're getting back from the eBays and other companies that don't have a physical presence in South Dakota. And then after we see that number, what we're receiving additionally, do we want to adjust the sales tax rate after that? Because I do know that when the sales tax increase went through, there was the trigger that if we increase by $20 million, it goes down by, I think it was 0.1% on the sales tax. So that's something that if the Supreme Court would rule in our favor, it could be something that we may want to look at into the future. So,
yeah, I'm certainly in favor of any means by which we could reduce our tax burden. Some people don't have much of a tax burden, some do, and that was part of the incentive to vote for that, was that it would be a means by which it potentially could be reduced. And there's no reason why our state government should continue to have an appetite that somehow matches all the revenue that we get. So, other suggestions? Representative Mills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just went online just to look for the form that was mentioned, and I think it's probably the one I see in a kind of a mix online use tax payment. And I don't know that even that term is familiar to the citizenry. You know, they wouldn't think about use tax when they're wanting to pay, and it's kind of hidden in a – I think it'd be good for us to review. I'm thankful they've got it online now and have made it easier. But as I look at it in the moment, I think it could be made much easier yet, just more obvious and easier to be understood. So It'd be good for us to look at that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, too, because I, you know, even in practice of law, I wasn't really paying much attention to tax other than paying my sales tax every month. And then I had an audit from the department at some point along the way and realized that I was supposed to be paying use tax on corporate books that I purchased from out of state and passed on to clients. And so that was pointed out, and I caught up with that. But that's the idea, is you're using something in the state, so you should pay the tax associated with that use. But maybe there is, and you might take this back to the department and suggest that maybe there's a way to help people understand sales/use tax. We can't misrepresent it, but maybe some kind of clarification on that term, because a lot of people might look at it and say, I don't owe a use tax, I owe a sales tax. Representative Mills?
Yeah, even if it just said, some, you know, I just bought something, how do I pay the sales tax? You know, click here.
Or how do I pay the tax, period.
Yeah, right.
So something to take a look at. Maybe it's something that you should do a little bit of a survey with representative sampling of people that if they went online and they saw that pop-up, would they respond to it? Would they know what to do if it said use tax as opposed to sales tax, or just if it said tax generally? Something to consider for the department. Well, I don't want to take up all your time. I appreciate everybody coming this morning. These are good ideas. We'll pursue this with the department and ask for some, well, first of all, we'll take a look at that study that was done a few years ago. Maybe get that passed out to all the members of the committee so we can see what that was, what that covered. And then some of these other areas, we might ask the department to give us some updates as we go throughout the session. So, well, the secretary's asking if each person needs a binder or how you want to handle that. And you can let the secretary know. I find it useful just to have that hard copy so I can actually keep it straight compared to all the other things on my computer. So just let the secretary know. And if there's no other business to come before the committee, I'll hear a motion for adjournment.
Second. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Who was the second?
She needs to know the motion and who made the second.
Representative Duvall, did you make the motion?
I did.
And the second?
Dennert.
All right.
The entire rest of the committee.
The entire rest of the committee. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and we are adjourned.